my heart. Well, this is a song of great resolve. Because if you look at the words, you know, to the song, it says, the day of his appearing will come at last. This is someone who is prepared for Jesus to come. But if you're not prepared for Jesus to come, are you going to be looking for his appearing? There's no way. It's like a test that you didn't prepare for. You know you got class coming. You got class Tuesday at 9. And guess what? You waited until 8:59 to study. Are you prepared for that test? Absolutely not. Okay. But one advantage, I would say, if we have any advantage today, is that we know God is coming. We know the Son is coming. So what time do we have to prepare? All we have is right now. You know, you can't control anything that you did in your past. And you have no hold on the future because the future is not yet here. Only thing you will ever have control of is what you can do right now in the present. That's the greatest control that you will ever have. Not over anyone else, not over someone else's decisions. But today we're going to talk about this door, okay? Now, how useful is this door? Okay? What can you do with a door, usually? Okay? You can open a door, and you can shut a door. When a door is open, okay, you allow people in. When a door is closed, it's designed so no one can get in. Now, before Adam and Eve had sinned, there was no need for doors. There were no need for locks. There were no need for anything, that anything should be secure, because everything was good in the world. But as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, what the first thing they had to do? They realized that they were naked and they had to clothe themselves. So automatically they had to lock things up. They had to lock their bodies. They had to secure their bodies so they wouldn't see each other naked. So that's because of sin. Okay? Now, you know, if this door is half open, and that's what it looks like. It looks half open. Is there any good that can come out of this? What can you do with a half open door?
Go through it.
Okay. Is that always a good thing?
No.
It depends on who you want to come through that door. All right? When it comes to Christians, okay, our hearts should be open to other people. Absolutely. Okay? But God has given us the power to close the door on having a mind of evil. Now, before you became one with Christ, you had no way to open or close the door because you didn't have control over your life. Okay, sin had control of your life because you were not yet you were not yet in Christ. But now that you have Christ, now you've been awakened. God has now you are alive. You have a way out of it. Now, this is where I'm going. Okay? This is where I'm going. You can be in the safest house. You can live on the safest street. You can be in the safest city, and you can live in the safest state and the safest country. But if you leave your door halfway open, you can still get robbed. So that's what we're talking about. You not getting robbed, or you getting snubbed out of your salvation by leaving your door half open. Okay. Now, has anyone had warm coffee before? Okay. How does it taste? Does it taste any good? Not as good. You want hot coffee? Have you ever had a warm steak? It doesn't taste that good. All right. No one likes these things. No one likes these things. Okay. Is there anything such as a warm fire? Is there anything as a warm fire? Okay? I've never heard of a warm fire. A fire is either hot or you have no fire. So God wants you. Now, there is different degrees of fire. Okay? All right? There is the red heat, there is the blue heat, and there's a white heat that is just way too hot. Okay? Now, let's go to Revelation. Chapter 3, we're going to read verses 15 and 16, and then I'm going to go to Genesis 19. okay? This lesson is gonna be about staying ready and being ready, all right? Now this door has gonna have many uses, okay? But first we gotta talk about the good and the bad uses, all right? So Revelations chapter 3, I'm gonna read verses 15 and 16, okay? Now, am I on the right? I gotta get there myself. I'm looking at verse 2. I might just don't look right. All right. Verse 15 says, okay, I'm sorry, verse 14. And the angel of the Lord said to the church in Laodicea. Thank you. We got a scholar in the house. Thank you. I need help. All right. Write. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He says, for I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I will counsel you to buy me gold and refined of fire, so you can become rich, okay? And white your clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and to salve you and put your eyes so you can see. See, their riches, their glory, all the fame and things they think they don't need is what blinded them from the truth. The more we acquire, the less we think we need God. Instead of thinking, who's the one who acquired me with all these things? Who's the one who did it? So we're going to visit that. All right? So let's go back. Let's go. Because they were lukewarm. They weren't hot or cold. They were on the edge. They had one foot over the fence. The other side was over there. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get to that part. There's another thing I was about to bring up, but I'm not going to spoil the lesson. All right, let's go to Genesis 19, okay? It's going to get real good. It's going to get real good. Genesis 19, all right? Genesis 19. In Genesis 18, Abraham was pleading for his nephew Lot. They were in a wicked city, and Abraham was pleading to God. If there be this many people, 50 people, would you spare? If it be 15, if it be 10, if it be 5... Okay, Abraham was asking God all these questions to see if there's any way you won't destroy the city, because he knows he has a loved one living there. Okay, so let's go all the way to the beginning, Genesis 19. Okay, but God is on a mission. God is on a mission because there's something that has to be done. If you guys didn't realize this, that this world is getting worse and worse. It is amazing. And how salty and how petty people can be now. It is amazing what you see on the roads. It's amazing what we see in schools. Look at the stuff you see in movies, the stuff you see in shows, the stuff you see on the news. It is so hard. I can't watch no TV show. I can't watch no shows. There's a lot of reasons why I don't watch no shows. Because I want to see the end. I want to see the finale of every show. That's it. The last episode should tell me everything I need to know about the show. But the reason why I don't like watching a lot of these shows is because I analyze it too much. There's too much in it. Okay? There's way much into stuff. And you need to really watch what you... Really monitor what you watch. And today and with society. Really, really monitor it. Because if you don't think that stuff can get into your head, you're wildly mistaken. All right, the things we listen to, the things we watch, the things we hear, and the things we see can penetrate your mind and make you desensitive to the things you need to be sensitive to. All right? So with that said, I'm gonna show you what that looks like here. All right? Genesis 19, it says, the two angels arrived in Sodom at evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. And when he saw them, he got up and met and bowed down his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house So you can wash your feet and spend the night and go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they go with him and entered his house. So he prepared a meal, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, it don't say some. Okay? It doesn't say most. It does not say many of them. It says all of the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot and they said, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so we can have sex with them." Now, this wasn't some of the men. This wasn't most of the men. This was all the men from every part of the city. They want to sleep with them. So they want to rape these two men. The whole city. This is one city. Okay, Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door. He shut the door behind them. Now, what would happen if you left their door half open? Okay, that's rhetorical. I mean, those are concerned. Okay, that's rhetorical. What would happen? They could easily come in and do whatever they wanted to do. He had to shut the door to secure them. Okay, unless the door is shut, it's not secure. So he wanted to do everything he could to secure the door. All right, he said, so Lot went outside and shut the door behind him. And he said, "No, my friends, do not do this wicked thing. All right, look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you so you can do what you like with them, but don't do anything to these men, for they have come under my protection, under my roof." And they said, "Get out of the way." They replied, and they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play judge." That's the way the world is today. That's the way the world is today. You try to say anything that makes any kind of sense to people. Instead of them listening to you, now they think you're their judge. What are you trying to judge me for? I didn't do anything wrong. The laws that are being made today, okay, that were laws and things were against, now you are being attacked because you oppose what the laws are being put in place today, making things legal. Things that were illegal and things were despised and things were called illnesses are now becoming practices and now becoming laws. And if you are opposed to that, they're opposed to you. They're opposed to you now. And he said, this fellow came here as a sojourner and as an alien, but now he wants to be our judge because we can't sleep with them. You see how sick this is? This was thousands of years ago, before today. Thousands of years ago, before Christ. And you see how this is then. The whole city came out. They want to sleep with two people. But Lot has two daughters who are virgins. And he's offering his two daughters. You can do whatever you want with them. And this is what he says here. The man reached. They kept bringing pressure. And he said, "We will treat you worse than them." So they kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the man inside reached out and pulled back the door. And then the man was struck out at the door of the house. And the young man old with blindness, and so that they could not find the door. Now, this is the part I want you guys to really see here, okay? The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons, daughters, or anyone else in the city that belong to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place with the outcry of the Lord against its people, so that he has sent us to destroy it." All right? Let me see. I'm trying to find a part. Okay, if you drop down to verse 16. Okay, they thought he was joking. Look at verse 16. Lot hesitated. "Why are you hesitating to leave this city of evil?" He didn't want to leave. Okay, he said when he hesitated, the man grabbed his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. He was already going to destroy the whole city, but he didn't want to destroy Lot. So he tried to do everything he could to get him out, but Lot hesitated. You cannot do that. You cannot hesitate. What did Jesus say? Any man with his hand towards the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot hesitate or look back. Because Mrs. Lot looked back, and you see what happened to her. She turned into a pillar of salt because she wanted to see what was going on. When the angels told them, don't look back or you will be consumed. Don't look back, but they looked back anyway. All right? We're going to look at another story. All right, not too far away from that. Let's go to Genesis, all right, chapter 7. Let's just backtrack a little bit. Genesis chapter 7. I'm going to start at verse 1. Okay. Noah was considered a righteous man, a man who walked with God. Okay. Noah found grace in the eyes of God in a world full of evil. Because in Genesis 6, God had said that he was sorry that he made man on earth, because every thought of the mind that man had was evil continually. That means that the man's mind was getting worse and worse. It was not getting better. It wasn't getting better. All right, in verse 1 in chapter 7, it says, the Lord said to Noah, get into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteousness in this generation. Take you, your seven of every kind, and male and female in this kind, and of unclean animal, male and mate, and also every kind of bird, and male and female, to keep and various kinds and alive throughout the earth. Okay, so I'm gonna drop down to verse 16. Okay, drop down to verse 16. The animals going were in male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. And then what did God do? Then God shut him in. Okay? God shut him in so he would be secure. Alright? You have to shut the door. You don't leave the door open for things to come in. If they left their door half open, water and all kind of stuff would have got in there, and there would be no point of Noah building this ark. Noah built that ark with a special kind of wood that were able to withstand the pressures of water that's going to be lifted up. Things have to be designed a certain way in order for God to operate. Noah could not build that ark on his own without God architecting the way he wanted that ark to be built. There was no way. There was no way. God has always had design for life. He had always had design for you and everyone else. Before the world began, he already had a grand scheme of how he was going to save man. And the Bible study we had, God had did a Jesus had performed a miracle to raise a man from the dead after he'd been already dead after 3 days. In a funeral, he decided to do one of his greatest miracles. And because he did this thing, he knew the Pharisees and Sadducees hated Jesus. And because he did this miracle, they wanted to kill him. But that's the reason why Jesus had to die, so he can save them for themselves. That was the only way he could do it. Was to have Jesus die so he can save them from themselves. Isn't that sad? It's very, very sad. Alright, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse 7. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. This is the chapter of the chapter of accounts of faith. All right, it goes all down the line of all those who had faith, but we're gonna look at Noah here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. The Bible says, "By faith, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, okay, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he commanded the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Okay? So, by reading this verse, it kind of tells me that Noah had never seen rain before the flood. It had never rained. So he was doing something completely out of faith, not knowing what would happen. But God told him to build the ark to save his family, and he did not know what was going to happen next. It takes a lot of faith for that to happen. It takes a whole lot of faith. Things he had not seen yet. Things he had never seen. He didn't know it was going to rain. But imagine building the ark for 100 years. Imagine trying to build something for 100 years. Saying the same thing over and over to people. You know what happens when you start saying the same thing over and over to people? They listen less and less. Now they're so insensitive to what you're saying, they just don't even bother anymore. This man's crazy. This man's crazy. So there's going to be some crazy people going to heaven. All right? Because we say the same thing over and over. This Bible's been here for a long time. We're saying the same thing over and over. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you this. There's only one way everyone's getting to heaven. All right? There's only one way everyone's getting to heaven. All right? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay? Only one way everyone's getting to heaven. And Jesus, yes, of course, is the way, but I'm talking about, I don't know if this is physically, I don't know how to explain that part. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 13 through 17. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 17. It says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant. Okay, I'm talking about sisters too, not just talking about men. We say brothers, brethren, brothers and sisters. We don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. What he's talking about is, okay, there are people who die outside the body, and then there's people who die in the body. What he's trying to comfort them by saying, it's not the same kind of hope. It's not the same kind of hope. When people die that are in the body, they're asleep. But people who die outside the body, they're perished. They're gone. Okay? But we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And we also believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are here still alive, that we are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, those who are still alive and are left will be caught up in the air with him and the clouds and meet with the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, we encourage others with these words. So no one's getting to heaven half off the ground. No one is getting to heaven half off the ground. So we all want to be caught up, okay? So we need to be very, very careful on the people that we deal with on a daily basis. Because the people we deal with on a daily basis have a huge impact in our long term, all right? When you go to if you have these economic classes or these philosophy classes, they're always asking you, what are you going to do 5 years from now, 10 years from now, okay? Well, God wants you to know what you're going to do from day to day. That's a whole lot more sustainable than what you're going to be thinking about 5 years from now. All right? So next point I want to make is, let's go to 2 Timothy, okay, chapter 3. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3. One thing I can't stand is bugs. So we pay $30 a month to have a bug person come and spray. Okay? But what would be the point of the bug people coming and spraying if this door is left half open? Alright? I know my mom hated this. When we left the screen door or anything half open, what can come up in there? Flies, bugs, ants, bees, all kind of stuff. It's just nasty. It's just nasty, and I've been the victim of it. Alright? So please, don't leave that stuff open. Alright? 2 Timothy, that's chapter 3. Okay, now what I'm about to read here, it was going on with the world today. Everything I'm about to read is going on with the world today. Now watch this. And it says, but mark this, so you need to highlight this. You need to date it, you need to remember it. There will be terrible times in the last days. That's today. That's right now. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, be boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. That's a whole lot to deal with. That's a whole lot to deal with. And a lot of these psychology terms, a lot of these disorders, and a lot of things we put in practice today is right here. It's right here. And we have all these medicines and stuff that we come up with it now. Okay? But Paul spoke about it a long time ago because he knew things were getting worse and worse. Okay? Look at what he did after the flood. God did not eradicate sin after that. He didn't get rid of it. He didn't get rid of it. And you can't say he started over. He just started with this family and then moved on with his creation. He did not just start over. But one of those three sons, or Noah or somebody else, started up the sin again. At that time, their family was righteous. But guess what happened? Okay, that was verse 7 in the flood. Look at, you go down, you go up to verse 19, and guess what you got? You got a whole city full of evil again. And God has not done anything like that since. Look at what we have today. Alright? Look at what we have today. Now watch this. It says, treacherous, rash, conceited lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Okay? Have nothing to do with them. Now, I'm not a big televangelist person. Not even a little bit. When it comes to terms of finance, they're great. When it comes to terms of making you feel good, they're very good at it. When it comes to self-discipline and mind empowerment, they're very, very good at it. But when it comes to salvation, all right? When it comes to salvation, they see terms of salvation as putting a donation or whatever you want to sow by mailing it or giving it to them. Okay? This is what I'm saying. I'm saying the same thing Jesus said. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to my Father but by me. I'm not here to lie to you. I'm not here to take nobody's money. And I'm not here to deceive anybody. The only way I know that you are going to heaven is by shutting that door on all that stuff and believing in God Himself and believing in the Bible for yourself. What I say can be one thing. You can read it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you something that's not in the Bible. I'm not going to come up with my own theology to make you feel good about yourself just to go home so you can feel worse because you didn't really learn the truth. If we're not really here to learn the truth about God's word, what are we really here for? The whole point is to get closer to God so when Jesus comes, you will be ready. He doesn't want anyone not ready. He wants everyone to be ready because what Jesus is doing is saving us from himself. When Jesus was here, that was the Lamb of God. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back as a Lion of Judah. A lion does not mess around. When a lion goes and goes to someone else's kingdom, this is what he does. He kills all the younglings that's around. He kills everybody. Then he sleeps with his wife and makes his own family with his own kids. That's what a lion does. The movie coming out called The Lion King is coming out this summer. I'm planning on seeing that movie, alright? But when Mufasa says to Simba, you must take your place in the circle of life, okay? Jesus knows who he is. The question is, do we? Because Jesus is not messing around. He has the keys of life and destruction in his hand. What he doesn't want is anyone lost. We have already read an account of all these people being lost. With Sodom and Gomorrah, the whole city was lost. When they were siding with either Moses, or they were siding with Nathan, or with Dathan, you see what happened. He swallowed up the whole earth and all that was on his side. And he just covered up like nothing happened. That's what God did. That's what God did. So what I'm trying to do is urge all of us, shut the door. Don't let things in that shouldn't be in. You guys, we all need to be very mindful what we let in here. Because we really don't know this thing. Our minds and emotions and things change all the time. Your resolve should be consistent. Don't change your resolve. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I don't know, we change our minds about things way too much. Because we want control of stuff. And instead of letting our weakness show, so God can strengthen us. We're too strong. We need to weaken up a little bit. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's true. We need to weaken up a little bit so God can strengthen us. All right? The last one I want to go to. All right. Let's go to 2 Peter. All right? Chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to bring this all full circle. All right, we're going to read verses 4 to 10 and bring it all full circle. All right, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in the gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, the preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for if a righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in the righteousness soul for the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from the trials of unrighteousness for the day of judgment." That's us. That means he knows exactly who is who in each city. Because he got all the way down to 10. He got all the way down to 10. He said, "What if there be 10 righteous?" He said, "I will not destroy it." That means that he knew there was less than 10 righteous people in that city. So he had to destroy the whole thing, but just keep a remnant enough for himself. Because he knows there's righteous people everywhere. There's always some righteous people everywhere. But is that us now? Is that us today? That's what he's trying to do. He had to destroy the whole city. In order to keep yourself secure, you got to shut the door. And you can't shut the door. You got to let God shut the door. If you shut the door, it ain't strong enough. It's not strong enough. All right? God needs to shut the door. It says when God shut him in, you got to absolutely believe, okay, no one else opened that door. Okay? Jesus says, "I am the door." Jesus said, "I stand and knock. If he will open the door, I will come in and dine with him." Jesus knocks. He's a gentleman. He's not going to beat on the door like those men in Sodom and Gomorrah. They beat on the door and try to break it down because they couldn't sleep with the man inside. That's how sick this world we're living in now. All right, but if there's anyone today who wants to know the way to God, who wants to know what is this gospel that this man preached about, all right? Well, this is the gospel, okay? Anyone who wants to obey the gospel has to do some things. The first thing they have to do is hear. Okay, Romans 10:17 says, "So then by faith, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then you must believe." Alright? And Hebrews it says, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And then you have to repent. Okay? A change of mind, the results, and a change of actions. And 2 Peter, God says, okay, that God is not slack in promise as though men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, now that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everyone to be saved. God doesn't want to condemn anybody. He wants everyone to see him, but not everyone's going to do what they need to do to be saved. That's just, it's sad, but that's just the way it is. And then we all have to confess. All right, if you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. And then we all must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Okay? Without baptism, there is no remission of sins. There are many people that have died from cancer, which is very unfortunate. But when that cancer is in remission, that word remission means it's not. It was like it never existed, like it's gone. Sin is like cancer to God. And God is the only one who has the right. He's the only one who can do the surgery to get rid of that sin, to get rid of that. And once you are baptized, you become a child of God. You become one of His in the family of God. He will shut the door on all those sins that you committed before. He will never remember them again. They are gone. And now you can turn around on the other side of the door and walk a new life with Him. All right? Amen. Anyone who wants to do that today, they can do that right now as we stand and sing the Savior's invitation song.